large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build but wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." This is the word of the Lord. On the front of your bulletin is the main graphic for this worship series we're in, The Open Path. That picture is an image I took with my phone at the Lake Logan Retreat Center. It's near Asheville, North Carolina. I was there a couple years ago. I flew into Asheville. I met up with a group of other pastors from around the country. At the airport, we all loaded up in a van for the drive to the retreat center. The main campus at the retreat center had a cluster of main buildings beside a lake, beautiful setting. We all went in, we got registered, and then next we were just to go get settled into our cabins where we were staying for the week. Now, several of the cabins and dormitories were right there, part of that main cluster of buildings where we first landed. So most of the group just grabbed their roller bags, their backpacks, and walked towards one of the nearby cabins. But there were other cabins, we were told, on the far side of the lake. And guess where my cabin was? So a few of us got back into the van to go across to the other side of the lake. And as we did, we went down this road, and we dropped off one person, then another, then another, then another. But I was on the van the longest because my cabin was all the way at the other side of the lake, down at the end of that road. Now, I will admit that my cabin was adorable, and I had it all to myself, which makes the situation even better. The only problem was that my cabin was as far as you could possibly be from the main buildings where we were to meet every day. It was about a half mile, took me about 20 minutes at a brisk pace. Now, the lake was beautiful where my cabin was, but still, I found myself wondering, why was I the one who got stuck so far from the action? I would have to wake up a half an hour earlier just to get to breakfast. And our schedules are jam-packed each day. Our stuff went well into the night, so I would be walking back that half mile in the dark. Plus, on the day I flew into Asheville, I saw a story on Twitter about a jogger who got mauled by a mountain lion on a wooded path somewhere in the northwest part of the United States. It didn't matter. I was sure I was going to get eaten. So I was thinking, with these people who I don't even know, will they even come look for my remains when I failed to show up for breakfast that first morning? Well, as you can tell already, that long walk loomed before me as a burdensome obligation that would annoy me the whole week. Wouldn't it be nice, I'm used myself, to have a cabin right next to the refectory, right next to the classrooms? But on that first cool morning walk along this trail by the lake, the sun was just coming up and the lake was covered in fog. I hadn't noticed it before, but there were lampposts all along the trail casting a soft light on it. I don't think you can see the lampposts in the picture I have there. But the truth is that what I dreaded, that long walk, that winding path all the way to the main camp, that became my favorite part of every single day at the retreat. Now, the scripture passages that we'll be reading together, not just today, but for the rest of this month, are all about roads, pathways, pilgrimage. They're all invitations for us to set out from what we know and to trek towards something new. Through these readings, God's Spirit calls all of us into fresh adventures, Now, it's true that all of us are already on a path, but every once in a while, God's grace places us in a position to choose a new way to go. And these next several weeks can be that rich, pregnant opportunity for us to choose again the direction of our lives. So we begin today with a message about choosing the path from these two readings. Next week, we'll talk about the danger of losing the path and getting lost. Third week, we'll talk about the difficulty of staying on the path. And then the final week in this series, we'll look at why it's so important to be on the path together with other people. So today, choosing the path. If you Google or Yahoo or whatever you happen to use, something like the busiest highway intersection in the world, what you'll get are lots of images of a complicated highway energy interchange in southwestern China near a place called Chongqing. This highway interchange looks like a gnarled tangle of roads going every which way. There are 5 layers to this interchange. There are 20 different on-ramps, and you can go in 8 different directions from these highways. It's a crazy scene. I cannot imagine how anyone gets where they really want to go. There are stories online about how long it's taken people who've gotten lost in that nest of highways to actually get where they wanted to go. So the tension for us today is that, yes, we feel God's call, as Jane was talking about, God's call for us to follow the way of Jesus. But we also, if we're honest, we feel pulled in many other directions, towards other loyalties. Sometimes it's hard for us to sort out what's really shaping our lives at the deepest level, what's really pulling us and influencing us. So consider our reading from Deuteronomy. It's a warning from Moses to Israel, given just when they're ready to cross over the Jordan River into the land that God has promised them. So the 40 years of wilderness wandering is behind them. They've come a long way. These people have been through a lot. And now they're on the verge of something brand new. And it's at this pivotal moment that they're addressed with a new word from the Lord through Moses. Their freedom from Egypt as slaves, their survival in the desert, and their new land they're about to inherit. All of this is a gift from the God who has given them everything already. But now they're at a critical turning point. Here's the hinge point where God can't keep choosing for them. They themselves will have to choose between, as Moses puts it, choose between life and death, blessings and curses. We might do well this morning to imagine ourselves at a critical point too. No, we don't have 40 years of wilderness wandering behind us, but we've all been on our own journeys, and it hasn't always been easy, has it? We're not poised to move, geographically speaking, into new territory, exactly like they were, but who among us can deny that life is always presenting us with openings, thresholds, possibilities for something new and different? One of the reasons I come to church is so that I can be reminded through the worship of the day, so I can be reminded to loosen my grip, to pause, to stop and look around at my life and what's going on, to ask myself whether I really want to keep walking in the same direction or whether what I need most is a different path. And I need this experience of worship with you all so that God's Spirit can give me enough freedom, enough space from all my other loyalties that I can prayerfully reconsider the direction I'm going. God's Spirit can always open a doorway that I can move through if my current path isn't life-giving. Did you notice the language of that warning from Moses? The choice for Israel is the choice between life and death. This is always a crisis of life and death. It's always, as Moses put it again, a matter of the heart. And so the question for us, poised to move one direction or another, is a heart question. Is my heart soft, open, listening for God's leading into life and joy in the company of others? Or do I need to make some different choices? Do I need to make some new priorities so that I can put myself in a posture to receive God's blessings? In today's gospel reading, Jesus warns us to count the cost of being his disciples. That's what Jane was talking about with our young people. He teaches us to be reasonable about what we're willing to undertake before we set out on this journey of baptism and faith. Jesus specifically mentions our family connections and our possessions. Perhaps these are two commitments that often keep people from fully welcoming his announcement of God's new kingdom. It's as if here Jesus is giving us a chance to back out, to take our names off the list, to decline the invitation after all. If your life is so invested in your family ties that you can't imagine making choices against the grain of your family's expectations, says Jesus, then you're better off not signing up to be one of his disciples. That is, if your identity, if your sense of worth and your sense of belonging is so deeply tied to your family networks that you can't imagine new forms of allegiance in life, then you're better off not even pretending to be one of Jesus' disciples. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Or on the matter of possessions, then, if your primary commitment is to maintaining a comfortable lifestyle, a certain home or certain kinds of cars or having certain clothes or a certain size of a retirement account, then you're better off just getting out now. If you're so deeply shaped by capitalism, by our American consumer culture, that your primary allegiance is to a life of acquiring stuff, acquiring things, acquiring experiences, protecting yourself against financial difficulty and financial loss, then you might as well not even bother with Jesus' other teachings. If we want to set out on this path towards a new kind of life, there are some things that can get in our way and make it tough. He's already talked about family ties and possessions, but he mentions a third thing. He says, anybody who doesn't give up everything can't be my disciple. Wow. Now, it's hard to know whether Jesus meant this to be taken literally. I suppose if we're addicted to money, to wealth, and to things, giving all or most of it away might really be the only path to freedom and sanity and joy. Now, we have objections, of course. I do too. If I literally give everything away, then I just become dependent on other people for all of my needs, right? And I could come up with other excuses. But however you and I hear this challenging news from Jesus today, none of us can doubt that as his disciples, we should travel lightly. We should avoid comparing ourselves to others in terms of our possessions and wealth. We should stay flexible and generous. And if there are other things that we can think of that might be getting in our way of following Jesus, we should be ready to give that up too. Not just family connections, possessions, but there might be things like our political loyalties, our commitment to our racial or ethnic group, something else may be for you that will make it hard for us to follow Jesus. And if so, he calls it to leave it all behind and set out for something new. All of us are traveling already. We're already on a path. We've loaded ourselves up with a variety of commitments and values, and we've headed out. If that path is life-giving for you and for the people around you, then I just want to cheer you on. Keep going. But for some of us right now, the path might not feel like that. We might feel blocked or trapped or stuck or lost. And if that's you, then I want you to hear these readings today as God's gracious invitation to begin again. If you're willing, God's Spirit will help you move in new directions. You can stop and you can pivot. And you might even have to move in directions that will confuse and upset the people closest to you. Do it anyway. When we lived in New York, some friends of ours invited us to go on a hike. They wanted to spend the day hiking the trails in Palisades Park, which is in New Jersey, but just across the Hudson River, just across the George Washington Bridge. I remember looking at the map. It's a park, and looking at the hiking trails on the map, thinking, oh, this would be a lovely day hiking along the Hudson River. Great views of the city. What's the big deal about an 8-mile hike? It turns out that I hadn't read the altitude changes on the map very closely. This hike is all along the cliffs of the Palisades, nor had I fully factored in that Remy was 4 with legs about 18 inches long. Actually, he ended up hiking more miles than we could have hoped, but I had to do the last couple of miles of trail with Remy on my back. Now, I am an amazing athlete, but still, That was hard. The moral of this story is that you can't really trust a map. A map is just an abstraction from way up high, right? You have to actually take the trail. You have to go on the journey. You have to live it and experience it at ground level. And when you do, what you'll discover that even a hard slog can be full of joy when you travel with other people that you care about. Now, choosing the best path is a bit counterintuitive. It might seem at first that what we want is the easy path, or the comfortable path, or the familiar path, or the most pleasurable path, but that's the trick. That's not really the path we end up wanting. The path we really want, and I'll say this, the path we really want is a path full of pain. Because pain and joy always go together. You can't get the joy without the pain. It's a two-for-one special. The most deeply satisfying life will always be a costly life. Jesus has at least been clear with us on that score. So friends, there's something just over that next hill. There's some challenge before you. There's some new discovery waiting just across the river. There's some freeing insight for you. There's some meaningful new ministry you can take up. But you can't stay here. You can't stay where you are. You can't get so comfortable with where you are and who you are that you grow complacent. So let's go. The path might look different for you than it does for me. That's fine. But there is a path for all of us that leads from here into a new world of possibilities, a whole new world full of God's grace and light and joy. So let's go. Amen.